Well, good morning. Great to see everyone here today. Today we are week two of our Proverbs series talking about wisdom for life. I mentioned last week two goals of the series. One, I want to sell you on the importance of wisdom in case you still need to be sold as to why wisdom is important, necessary, why wisdom matters. The question is, what is it that wisdom promises? And then the second goal of the series is for us to listen to the timeless ancient wisdom of Proverbs. Wisdom that has been around for a really, 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 really long time, but wisdom which is still important and true for us in our lives today. The question for this one is, what is the wisdom for us today? So these are the two questions that we are asking as we go through our series, our 8-week series on the book of Proverbs. Now, last week, I mentioned one of the things to do together as a community is to read a proverb a day. Today is May the 7th. We would be on Proverbs 7 today. And as you're reading through the Proverbs, what are the Proverbs? What is the wisdom that jumps out at you? Now, if you are on Instagram, maybe you've noticed I have been posting a reel each day, trying to keep within 10 seconds so it stays to a story, which is challenging, but I have actually really enjoyed doing this. Every single day, I'll read through the proverb, and then I look, okay, what's the interesting proverb for me? And it's been kind of a fun way for me to read through the proverb and then choose, oh, wow, you know what? I really, really like this one. So if you're on Instagram, you can follow Awaken on Instagram, and you can see what those reels are, and hopefully that acts as a reminder as well to read your proverb. Keep a journal, keep a notebook, keep it on your phone. What's the wisdom that you are discovering? What is jumping out at you, screaming like wisdom's call, wisdom's invitation, wherever we happen to be? Hey, here's the wisdom for you in this particular moment. There's a reason that you are being drawn into something. We'll be at day 7 if you are... if you're first hearing about this, or if you have fallen off the wagon already, it's all right. You can pick back up today at Proverbs 7. One of the beautiful things about Proverbs is there's no real giant structure within it. There's a lot of different ideas. We have Proverbs 1 through 9, which serves as an intro. So maybe you've noticed if you've been reading along, these are longer. Once we get to Proverbs 10, there'll be the short, pithy Proverbs that you are all used to hearing and reading. So please, jump in, Proverbs 7 today. And then also, I'll make note of this. Ted last week told me that I cannot give my director's cut sermons, which means that I have a whole bunch of material on the cutting room floor from the Proverbs series, because there is just so much within Proverbs. I mentioned we're not going to be looking at every single proverb because we would be here for years. So I have I've actually posted two articles so far. If you want to hear about Amenemope, this Egyptian sage from 3,300 years ago who directly influenced Proverbs 22. Or I posted this past week, 7 Ways to Grow in Wisdom, according to the author of Proverbs. That is in my newsletter. I've been blogging about Proverbs, adding some supplemental material for your reading through Proverbs. I'll put a link in the newsletter this week as well. It's just been a fun way for me to take all the extra material that Ted's like, Dave, like we can't be here for 2 hours. you can follow along with Proverbs that way as well. Now, this morning, originally I had a title, but director's cut. I changed a whole bunch of the material in here, had to cut some things, changed the title, which I love the title of it. And today's title is called Lady Wisdom, Lady Folly, and You. We'll begin in Proverbs 9, verse 1. This is Lady Wisdom's banquet. Remember, we talked about this last week. In Proverbs, wisdom is a woman. Wisdom is personified, and she is calling out to you in each moment. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Lady Wisdom is calling out, let all who are simple come to my house. Simple, we could also translate as all those who desire knowledge, all those who are lacking knowledge and desire some wisdom for their lives. Let all those who are in need, who are desiring wisdom, come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. For through wisdom, which I love this promise of wisdom right here, through wisdom, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Wisdom, longevity, long life. Then right after Lady Wisdom's banquet, we have the banquet of Lady Folly, following right after what we've just read in Proverbs 9. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple, and she knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. So we have two houses. We have the house of wisdom. We have the house of folly. Here is Folly sitting at her house on a seat. Again, where is she? The highest point of the city, the same place where Lady Wisdom is. This time she is seated, and she's calling out to all those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Going straight on your way, what this implies is people who are righteous. Because you're going in a direction that is straight, not a crooked direction. So here she is seated at her house, the top of the city, calling out all those who are trying to walk the right path, all those who are trying to walk the path of wisdom. Essentially what she's doing, she's trying to knock them off their path. I mean, isn't that, don't we all desire to go in a path that is straight? A path that is wise? But yet here comes this voice, here comes this woman with her invitation saying, hey, that's not the path for you. I have a different path. Come in. Join my feast. Here's her invitation. Let all who are simple come to my house. The same invitation as Lady Wisdom. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. And then I love this line right here. But little do they know that the dead are there at her table, at her banquet, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Ooh, that is good. That really paints a picture for us, does it not? Yeah, so we have this banquet of Lady Wisdom, and then we have the banquet of Lady Folly. Let's take a little closer look at both of these banquets. For Lady Wisdom, she's prepared. She set her table. She has the meat. She's cooked the meat. She's mixed the wine. I mean, everything is ready to go. Have you ever gone to someone's house for a dinner party and it's like everything has been taken care of? And you just walk in and you sit there and you just have this, like you just breathe a little easier because everything has been taken care of for you. Drinks are there. The food, the appetizers, they're already out. Napkins, silverware. I mean, even the forks are in the right side of the plate. Like everything has been taken care of for you. And then Lady Wisdom, not only is she calling out, but she has gathered her messengers as well. She has commissioned others to go and invite other people into this banquet. We'll see here in a moment, but we already just read it. Lady Folly is what? She's seated. I mean, think about that picture. Lady Folly is here calling out like, hey, you who are going straight, come on over here. Come to the banquet of the dead. And yet here is Lady Wisdom sending her message. She is pursuing people. She is sending messengers out into the streets because she cares. That's one of the things about wisdom that we see in Proverbs. Wisdom cares for humanity. Wisdom cares for you. Wisdom desires to give you life and life in abundance. Here's her invitation. Let all who are simple come find wisdom to guide your life. Then we have, here's a picture. So here's a picture of Lady Wisdom's banquet. Who's signing up for this one? And then we have Lady Folly. She's unruly. We could also translate it. She's boisterous. She's loud. I was talking to a few people this week about noise. and how oftentimes in life, on the internet, it's the people who scream the loudest who get the most attention. The people who really have absolutely nothing to say, but because they're loud, because they're in your face, because they're constantly posting things about nothing, they get all the attention. This is Lady Folly. There's a whole bunch of movement. There's a whole bunch of noise, but there's absolutely no substance behind it. She's calling out. I mean, her Instagram page, she has thousands, millions of followers, but there's absolutely no substance there. Then we're told Lady Folly is simple herself. I love that. Whoever wrote this. Here's Lady Folly. She's calling for those who are simple, but in reality, she is simple. She has nothing to offer. She has nothing to offer. There's little, if any, preparation. There's no glamorous spread. She doesn't have the meats all set out. She hasn't mixed her wine. She waits in the doorway on a seat. She's not pursuing. Same invitation, let all those who are simple. And then, here's the thing about the food. It's stolen. It's not even hers. She hasn't gone out and purchased it for her guests. This food and drink, it's stolen and eaten in secret. And the guests are unaware what it is that they're walking into. Maybe her door frame is decorated nicely, and you kind of look at that door frame, you're like, ooh, wow, I'm going to walk into that store. But soon, beware, because as soon as you walk in, you have no idea what you are stepping into. This is the banquet of Lady Folly. And this competition between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, this acts as the basis for the entire book of Proverbs. It's Lady Wisdom versus Lady Folly, centering Saturday night, 8 p.m. HBO special. They're both competing for your attention. Every single moment, wisdom is calling to you, folly is calling to you. The question for the book of Proverbs is, will you answer the call of Lady Wisdom, or will you be seduced by Lady Folly? We have this banquet. It serves as the end of the introduction to Proverbs. And then we enter into Proverbs 10 with all these treasures, these nuggets of wisdom. And the editor of Proverbs wants you to know, as you're about to enter now into some new material, be mindful of the fact that there's a competition for your heart. Wisdom is calling, and she's there. She's always there. But folly is calling as well. Now, within Proverbs, you find an abundance of wisdom for everyday life. There's wisdom for the big temptations in life. That's why Proverbs 5, one whole chapter about avoiding the adulterous woman. One whole chapter about this. But then there's wisdom for the seemingly smaller temptations. We would probably all agree adultery is one of those big temptations, or the big sins that we wouldn't want to step into. But gossip, slander, we can let that one slide a little bit. It's not as big of a deal. By including all of them together in this collection, the author of Proverbs is saying, and here's Peter ends, he says, giving into folly in any form, whether it be gossip, slander, etc., is no different than giving in to the adulterous woman. Why? Because it all matters. Every decision in your life matters. There are no little things in life, because it's the little things that can have major implications. One of the things Reese and Kit love to do is go hiking in the woods, and I can never get them to leave. They like to stop at the small little pond and throw rocks into the pond. Have you ever done this before? You throw a rock in, and then there's these ripples that extend outward from where that rock enters into the water. That's how it is with the decisions that you make. There are no little decisions. There's a ripple effect. there's consequences down the road, whether we are aware of them or not. Remember Lady Folly. Her guests are unaware of what it is that they are walking into. We have before us always this choice to listen to Lady Folly or to listen to Lady Wisdom. Which path will we choose? Which path? Will we walk the path of wisdom? Will we respond to the call of Lady Wisdom? Or will we give in to Lady Folly and her path? The truth is, and here's, I think, a big idea of Proverbs, every single decision is shaping you into a particular type of person. Everything you're choosing, you're being shaped as a person of wisdom, or you're being shaped as a person of folly. And here's what types of decisions matter in life. What you say, how you say it, what you allow into your life, how you take care of your body, how much sleep you get, the kind of food that you eat, exercise. It's all important. What matters is how you treat other people, how you care for your family, how you manage your time, what it is that you decide to give your limited energy to. It all matters. And why does it matter? I already gave you the answer. It matters because there are no little things in life. Every decision you make, it adds up to the life that you're living. Every decision you make, it's the sum total of who you are. Every decision matters. Now, if you want to build muscle, maybe you would pick up some of these. You would go to the gym. You'd lift some weights. But what if we were to look at wisdom as a muscle? What if we were to look at wisdom as something that we could grow in, something that we could build up in our lives? The question, the practical question for us today then becomes, how do we build up the muscles to resist Lady Folly and to walk with Lady Wisdom? Here's the answer. This is the most important thing I will tell you today. If you forget everything else, please remember this. Mindful versus mindless living. Now, as I was putting the sermon together, last week, one of my good friends, he is a marriage crisis coach. His newsletter came out last week, and what he said in his newsletter was absolutely brilliant, and I kept thinking about it. And he was talking about how it is that he lives in a mindful way every single day. As I was thinking about this sermon, thinking about that newsletter, I said, hey, Jeff, what if I were to interview you for a couple of minutes so that you could teach us here at Awaken how to live mindfully, how you do it, which is, I think, really important. But the even more important piece of what I'm going to show you, this interview I'm going to show you here in a minute, is why he does it. And I think it illustrates beautifully the path between Lady Wisdom and the path of Lady Folly. So this is my friend, Jeff Borkowski. As I said, he's a marriage crisis coach, but the truth is, he is so much more than just a marriage coach. He's a life coach. And he started signing his emails, his newsletters, just coach. And I noticed this a couple of weeks ago, and I emailed him back. I'm like, dude, own it. Like, yes, you are a coach for all of us. You're teaching all of us how to walk in wisdom. Now, I did have to edit this for time. I told him we have about 3 minutes. We went about 10 minutes. I think what I'll do is I will just put up the whole interview on YouTube. I'll put a link to it in the newsletter because everything he says is really, really helpful. But I knew we had to edit it for director's cut is not available this morning. So here is Jeff. And what you'll see is the question that I've asked him is, what exactly, can you talk a little bit about your daily mindful routine? What do you do on a regular basis?
Most important aspects of it for me, the life-changing aspects, have been getting into my bedroom about 9:30 or so. I'm usually lights out by about 10:15 or 10:30. So I have a chunk of time, unhurried time, where I'm doing a couple things. I'm getting out my journal and I'm writing down 5 or 10 things from that day that I'm grateful for. They don't have to be monumental. They can be very little things that so often during the day we don't pause to savor, right? So it could be, I'm grateful that the sky was blue today and I got to take my walk and it wasn't raining. So 5 to 10 things I'm grateful for. And then I switch gears and I ask myself 4 questions. And I do this every night. So question number 1 is, what went well? What went well today? Number 2, what needs work? What can I improve upon? Question number 3 and 4, they kind of go together, but number 3 is, what did I learn today? What was a helpful lesson? What did I take out of the day? And then number 4 is kind of on the heels of 3, what will I do differently tomorrow, right? So as a result of this little lesson, whether it's a big lesson or a small lesson, I've got to ask myself that last question. Okay, well, what does that change about my behavior? So there you go. That's my nightly routine kind of encapsulated.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to implement this routine?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was unconscious for a long time. That's a big word. And here's the thing. Here's what I've learned in the ensuing years. That's not exclusive to me. Neuroscience tells us that you, me, and everyone listening to my voice this morning, we go through life mostly on autopilot. We're only conscious 5 to 10% of the day.
That's a scary stat.
I mean, think about that. 5 to 10% of the day. So we're running on programs. We're doing things automatically, right? You jump into your car, you're not thinking like you did as a 16 or 17 year old, right? Okay. Both feet on the ground, key in the ignition, foot on the brake, hands at 10 and 2. No, we do that on autopilot now. We just jump into the car and you can be, you know, clenching a coffee cup in your teeth and dialing the phone while you're driving, you know? So my marriage ended 10 years ago and it ended for one simple reason. And that's this: I didn't pause. I didn't take time to reflect. I didn't make time to think. I didn't make time to ask the important questions, right? So I was just on that hamster wheel and I couldn't get off. So I wasn't asking the important questions in a marriage, right? Questions like, how fulfilled am I in our marriage? How would my wife answer that same question? When's the last time I wrote her a note? For no reason other than to say, I'm thinking about you. I love you. Do I know even what she's struggling with right now? How can I come alongside her? How can I support her? So again, all of those important questions. When was our last date night? Do I have one on the calendar? Unfortunately, they never got asked. They never got asked. So that in the aftermath of my divorce, I learned some really hard lessons. And one of them is this: autopilot is the enemy. Autopilot is the enemy. Now, in some ways, autopilot helps us accomplish tasks, right, more efficiently. But autopilot also buries us in routine and kind of like a giant anaconda. That's the picture I always have in my head. It slowly is squeezing the life out of us. So we're going through life unconscious. We're not thinking about what matters. We're attending constantly to the urgent, the urgent, the urgent. And then most of us have a list like I had for years, unfortunately, that if I had to label it, I would call it, I'll get to that later. And looking back, that's all of the stuff I never made time for. And it was all the critical stuff. It was all the important stuff. And what I learned, unfortunately, sadly, is that later never came. You know, making up lost time with my wife never came. I was a slave to the urgent. So that's where this this nightly habit kind of came out of. Because if autopilot's the enemy, reflection is our greatest weapon against him, right? Pushing that proverbial pause button, slowing down, thinking critically. The famous French philosopher Pascal said, you know what? I wrote it down in case I kind of blipped on it, but let me read this to you real short. all of humanity's problems. Now, keep in mind, this was in the 1600s. This was before the internet. This was before driving kids to soccer practice. All of humanity's problems stem from man's ability, excuse me, inability to sit quietly in a room alone. All of our problems stem from our inability to just slow down and step into our conscious minds, because we're just going, going, going.
Jeff Borkowski, right? Isn't that helpful? I'll add the whole interview. That's about half of it. So he has a few more nuggets of wisdom. You can find him, wifemagnet.me. Find all of his stuff here. And here are the questions. That's the title of his first book. He has two books out. The first one is Wife Magnet. And I forget the title of the second one. They're both great. Here are the questions that he asks. 5 to 10 things I'm grateful for. What went well today? What needs work? What did I learn today? What will I do differently tomorrow? How do we build up the muscles in order to grow in wisdom? We live mindfully. We reflect. We look back on what went well. What did we learn? I mean, that's how you grow in wisdom. You keep a list. What did I learn today? What was the wisdom for me today? Oftentimes, there's wisdom right there for the taking, but we miss it because we don't record it. We don't capture it. Reflection is what allows us to capture and record all the wisdom that's coming our way. Now, if you move a little forward in the Bible, a little to the right, we come to another wise person by the name of Jesus. Maybe you've heard of Jesus before. Jesus has quite a few teachings. He speaks often in parables. Here is a wisdom parable of Jesus. This is actually right here. This is sort of like the coming attraction teaser for where we're going next week as well. So we're going to end the sermon here, but next week, this is what's coming. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet the house did not fall because, what was its foundation? Wisdom. The house was built on wisdom. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, someone who has entered into the home of Lady Folly and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on folly, on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. What's the promise of wisdom? The promise of wisdom is a life that can sustain you no matter what storms come your way. Storms will come. They're a part of life. They happen. A house built on wisdom allows us to sustain no matter how difficult of a season we walk through. It'll get messy. There'll be some hurricane force winds. You may have to batten down the windows, go down into the cellar. There's a tornado coming. You might hear that siren. Yeah, it's all a part of life. But the promise of Jesus, the promise of wisdom in Proverbs, is that a life built on wisdom will carry you through. Here's a proverb that I found this week. I've never seen this proverb before. Proverbs 4:26, make level the path you travel. The path you're traveling, it's not always level. Sometimes it's bumpy. There's turns. What's the wisdom here? As we're walking it, we are the ones who are to make it level. We flatten it out. We keep on going. We don't stop and turn back around. We don't stop and walk in the direction of folly, but rather, we use the wisdom that's been given to us in order to make level that path. And you'll walk steady. You'll be sustained. maybe difficult. The promise is not a life of ease. That's not the promise of Jesus. But the promise is a presence and a grace that will always travel with you.